Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It's the precision, it's the timing, it's the placement. He did not have to wind that up. That is power from precision.
Like, I've been keeping this big secret. Like, that's what I come in here to do when I come into the cage. Like, that's how I should look every time.
Peyton Talbot!
What a moment for that team out of Factory X. There's a lot of talent in that gym, and Yusuf Zalal's right there among them.
I don't know if you guys saw me in the round. I'm too good, man. I'm really too good.
The Moroccan Devil!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Always happy to see Phoenix. You have a very tired Jim Norton today. I flew and didn't know if I'd make it in time for the show. My flight from Houston was early, so I'm happy to be here with you and Matt. And Peyton Talbot will join today. An incredible win for him. Goes to 8-0. And Yusuf Zalal, who you know pretty well. Right, Phoenix?
Oh, yeah. I know him from the LFA days. Very, very talented, hard worker, cool, very nice person. It's good to talk to him.
What did you guys think of Rose against Amanda Ribas? Very interesting fight. I definitely think Rose won the fight. I think that was a huge, huge win for her after that loss to Ferrell. What did you think?
I was a bit surprised that it was unanimous decision. I thought Ribas did a lot better than I think people gave her credit for against Rose. I saw what Rose was talking about. She said she didn't feel as snappy or as sharp, you know, as she's adjusted to this weight class. But good fight overall. It's kind of good to see Rose back in the winning column. I just don't know where Ribas goes from here. Does she stay at 125? Does she go back down? I don't think so, but it's hard to know.
Do you mean like you unanimous? Because it was 49-46 on two cards, 48-47 on one card. I think I was a little surprised that it was not 48-47 on at least two of them. Like sometimes you'll go, wow, they saw that. I think what they're just giving one round to Ribas. Or is that, am I wrong? I'm very, very sleepy. I haven't slept in 2 days. So my math might be very off right now.
I don't know. I don't have the card in front of me. I was really surprised. Like I didn't 100%, wasn't 100% sure it was going to totally go to Rose.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought she won, but I was surprised that it was 49-46 on two of them. What did you think, Matt? Yeah. 49-46. Yeah. Okay. That was correct about that.
Let me start by just saying hello, Jimmy.
Hi. Hello, buddy.
All right. It's been a couple of days. I'm going to forgive you for not even really saying, you said how nice it was to see Phoenix, but not really.
No, I said it, Matt.
Oh, hold on. Not okay. Anything towards me. I didn't hear anything towards not a hello. I don't think there was any. We can play it back. We don't have to. I don't want to make it seem, especially not in front of Phoenix, because we miss her. And Phoenix, hi. Good to see you. So I didn't even say hello yet before we start getting into any of this shit. I'm not making it all about me. And I know you're tired, and I apologize.
Very tired.
Listen,
I'm
to me.
Very
this
sleepy.
Is what I want. This is what I want.
I rushed home to see you. Are you kidding me? I got off the plane and flew right back to the city to see you.
I'm so happy to see you. You know who else I want? Who I want you to see? The sun. I want you to see the sun. You need some vitamin D, Jimmy. It might be the lighting, but you look a little pale.
Yeah, I know. I'm starting to look like Rosie O'Donnell with these glasses and my grayish hair.
Now I feel bad. I'm
Why?
Not
to, I look like I Rosie. Miss, it's okay.
I miss you. And I wanted to ask you about knowing people. Do you know, I'm almost embarrassed to say, but do you know who the character is on our friend Phoenix Cannavale's shirt? Because I know. Could you show him? Obviously, it's from G.I. Joe. She's wearing a G.I. Joe shirt. And there's a character on there with two, you know, ninja swords, because he's obviously a ninja. Who is that? What is his name?
Don't, why are you asking me? You don't know it?
Don't. He's Googling. Stop it.
I'm not.
You better, he's going to say the wrong name, though. He's going to say the wrong name.
Who do Jeff. You think? It's who is Jeff, it? Jeff the swordsman.
Jeff Spiegel. That's his name.
Do you know who that is?
I have no idea. I would guess Jeff the Swordsman.
Listen, I used to watch the cartoon G.I. Joe. It was a fun show in the 80s.
Of course.
That's the ninja Storm Shadow. Now, don't think of G.I. Joe as those horrendous movies with Channing Tatum, and I think The Rock was in the other one. They were not very good. Throw in a Wayne's brother. They were not what we grew up in. What I grew up as an 80s kid, you know, a kid growing up in the 80s. When I grew up on that cartoon, it was, there was some cool, like, there was some drama going down. Storm Shadow versus Snake Eyes. And then next thing you know, Quick Kick's in there, but that's, you throw that down. Okay. And then there's,
Jinx, the Red Ninja.
Who's it? Who's the
American? What's that?
Jinx, the female ninja, little red female ninja.
Yes. Well, I mean, listen, we could go on for, oh, shoot. Jimmy, luckily for you that Peyton Talbot is in the...
I never would have guessed. I guessed Jeff the Swordsman was wrong.
Well, it was Storm Shadow. But more importantly, let's talk to a real ninja in Peyton Talbot.
Yes.
He looked great the other night, man.
Amazing, cool.
He looked ferocious. Sorry. Yeah. I love that theme today.
No, he did. He looked he looked terrific. Then again, so did Simon.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing, Peyton? How are you?
Good, man. How are you guys?
Good.
Excellent.
Nice to meet you, and congratulations, bro.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Is it true? I heard, I'm pretty sure I heard this right, that you root for the bad guys in the movies. Is that true?
Yeah, I always side with the villains more often than not.
Well, you got to leave the movies pretty depressed, because they often lose, the villains. But when I hear right, you're rooting for I don't know, You're a young kid. I don't know if you know about Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker, but you're rooting for Darth Vader. You're rooting for the bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing about Star Wars. If the Sith were to just win and take everything over, there would be no problems. Like, I think the Jedi's are like making everything complicated. That's crazy you brought that up.
Oh, look at this.
Yeah.
Love you already.
Oh, listen, this is, we could have been hanging out ages ago. So you're into Star Wars. Do you like the series? And what do you think of The Mandalorian? What do you think of Star Wars as of lately?
I'm not too into The Mandalorian. The only reason I have this hat is because my mom's boyfriend did the special effects for this episode, episode one, Star Wars. Yeah, he was on set. You only get this hat if you're on set. So. Okay.
See, now I feel silly, because I just went full geek mode. And you're like, listen, the hat was a gift from my... You know, I'm like, hey, what's your... I just went...
No, I love Star Wars. I love Star Wars. I like the story of Anakin is like, you know, 1 through 3 are like my favorite. And then the last two are pretty cool too. But I was rooting... I root for the Sith. Like, they're more powerful. They have... it's not like they're trying to do anything that wrong. They're just trying to usurp control. And if the Jedi would just roll over, everything would be more simple.
And he did the special effects for Phantom Menace. Did he have to go back in and do it? Because sometimes, like Lucas, as technology evolves, he has those guys go back in and then they redo things and they cover certain things. Did he have to go back and do any of that, or did he just work on the original, or has he gone back in since then and kind of updated technology?
No, he just worked on the original, and that was the only one that he did, I believe. So
if you like bad guys, You gotta watch the new Dune. Are you into Dune at all? Did you watch any of that?
No, but I've been meaning to watch that, actually.
Bade Rotha for the win. He's a bad mother effer. It is, I'm telling you, I don't want to ruin nothing for you, but the characters, like, they got a lot of Star Wars from Dune, because Frank Herbert, sorry, I sound like a real nerd. He came out with the book in the 70s, and George Lucas got inspired by it. And you'll see a lot of similarities, you know. Anyway, let's get back to you being a badass. I'm sorry. Well, I'm just geeking out.
Very calm, cool, collected, psych background. And you're freaking mean in there. Like, you're really mean in there, which I mean is an absolute compliment. Like, the aggression, the seizing every moment of opportunity. So do you find that it's just a dark side that happens and turns on, or is it a calm side that turns on when you get into the cage?
I think it's a calm side. I think there's just like a lot of, there's really no emotion, and I'm not like angry in there. But I think like that coldness and the lack of emotion produces some really mean looking style when you're like fast and as violent as I am.
Were you surprised that Simon didn't go out in the first? I mean, you really, he's a very tough guy, and you, that first knee you hit him with, from the angle, I couldn't tell. Did you hit that square on the jaw, or did that hit the side of his face and his shoulder?
It was like right here, like right underneath the jaw. But I knew when I threw it that it didn't land flush. So I wasn't super surprised. And I knew he could take a hit. I've watched a lot of his film, and like, I know he can withstand like a strong hit. But I like early on in that fight, as soon as I was landing and I felt like the contact, my punches just felt like way different in this fight. Like, I felt way stronger, way more like stable when I was landing. And I knew like after that point that it was going to happen eventually.
Any reason in particular, like it was something you trained or a way that you were training that you felt more stability and power?
Yeah, I actually started for the first time doing strength and conditioning for this fight. I don't like, up to this point, I work out like for an hour and 45 minutes, like 2 hours a day. And I don't really do strength and conditioning, but I've done that as well as like my team here at Reno. I see a Family First Chiropractic, and they help my body stay extremely healthy, all my, the right muscles turned on and everything.
Now, this is the first school you started with. You're still with that same team?
Yeah, the gym, Reno Academy. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
How did that start now? What made you walk in there? Is it, and that's your first introduction to any kind of martial art, correct?
Well, I like boxed for a couple months when I was like a fourth or fifth grader.
Okay.
Got my ass whooped. I only did it for like 2 months. And then I was like, fuck boxing. Like, this isn't for me. Yeah. And then I wrestled in high school, and then I gravitated back towards fighting. Oh. So, but it was just a simple Google search. They were the first place that popped up, and their website looked like the most legit, had some bright colors. So my eyes gravitated towards it, and then I just popped in.
And I'm sure you've talked about it, but I haven't. What is the significance of the tattoos? You have a really interesting circle in the front and almost obviously lined up on the back. Is there anything? Do they mean something?
Yeah, you guys ever played dominoes?
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, like the number one domino?
Oh, okay. So that's what it is.
No, I'm messing around.
Oh, okay.
No, it's just like a black hole, the hole that goes through my body.
Is there anything, what inspired you to get that? Like, was there something you saw, or did they just say, what do you want? And you said, just give me that.
It comes from Bleach, and it was kind of a planned out thing. I put a lot of thought into it because I was like, yes, getting a black dot in the middle of your chest is like kind of a big thing. But then I like went in to schedule it, and the guy was like, you know, usually you schedule pretty far out. So I told him what I wanted. I was like, I'll have some more time to think about it. He's like, all right, so you ready? And I was like, you're ready to do this right now? And he's like, yeah, let's bang it out. And I was like, let me just like give it one day at least, and then I'll come in tomorrow. So that's what I did. And that's one of my favorite tattoos. I love it.
Yeah, it's very unique. It's very interesting. I was watching you, like, on your, you said something interesting on your Instagram talking about yourself. You said that you don't see yourself as a fighter. You see yourself as a person who fights. And you don't even know if you'll be fighting in a few years, which was really, most fighters, you hear them identify themselves, say, I'm a fighter, but you don't see yourself like that.
No, I never have. I could see myself fighting for like a long time, honestly, but I could also see myself in a couple of years, you know, going to something else. But as long as I keep winning, like, I love this sport and I enjoy it. So don't worry about me jumping ship anytime soon.
So as a psych major, I found this really fascinating, right? Because you do things like skate and snowboard and all of these like high adrenaline, need like focus, reactive time type of activities. Do you find that there's something in your personality that adheres to that? Like, why do you think you sort of like lean towards of the stuff that has like just a sense of adventure?
I think I feel a very strong connection to my body and more than most people do. And I think like getting into a flow state and just firing on all cylinders with proprioception and being able to like articulate your body in space when you're extremely uncomfortable. Just being able to do that with like, and be satisfied with the way it looks, has given me like a lot of confidence, and it's made me feel like very home in my own body. So it's a very gratifying, like learning experience, learning how to skateboard, learning how to do acrobatics and things like that.
Did I read that you did pole?
Yeah. Yeah. I actually probably going to do a class this week. I haven't been able to do one because of the fight camp, but yeah, I really enjoy doing pole.
People do not realize how freaking hard it is. It is. It's
pole dancing.
Yes. It's hard. It's like gymnastics, but it's sexy. I don't know how else.
Well, that's why you don't see any big fat strippers. They're all in shape.
Now, wait a second.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not judging you. I seen you fight, but let me ask you something. You're fucking doing pole dancing? What are you doing?
Yeah. My sister owns a pole studio. She owns a pole studio here in Reno. So I get, you know, sometimes free classes, and I also like to support her business. So it's more of a workout, Matt. I'm not judging you.
I want to see Jimmy doing that. Now, wait, do you have to hold yourself? Listen, first of all, I'm a square block. I can't even picture when I was younger, maybe, but do you have to hold yourself out like sideways and stuff
like a flag almost? Can you hold yourself like that?
Like gymnastics, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of it's like skin contact too. So your skin gets real stretched out on that thing.
It's probably good for upper body strength too. I mean, it's like when you see people doing like the parallel bars and all that stuff, it's like the crazy amount of upper body strength and coordination you need to pull that stuff off. We watch them do it, but you never think like how strong these guys have to be to actually do that.
Yeah, it's insane the levels of strength in that kind of activity.
And your sister's studio, I'll bet you it's mostly married women who go, like, who are just looking for a good workout. Like, you know, most dancers probably practice at work. It's probably just a place that regular women go just to kind of get in shape and do something different.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And it's just a fun, like, it's a nice date to take yourself out on. Like, it's a fun way to get into your body.
Now, honestly, with all the stuff you're doing, from skating, snowboarding, surfing, rollerblading, riding bikes and popping wheelies on mountain bikes, is there anything that you really gravitate to, like your favorite hobby?
Yeah, I go through a lot of phases. Like, it'll probably be a different one in 2 months, but right now it's been DJing and just like zoning out on my controller and just like, yeah, sitting there and doing that. I don't play any shows or anything. I just like do it for myself, and I'm trying to like figure it out right now, but yeah, I'll just sit there for like hours.
Oh shit, Jimmy, break out the glow sticks. I like it. You're an interesting dude, Bane. I like all this shit.
Thank you.
What do you watch? Do you have a time to watch? And are you streaming anything? Are you listening to any audio books or reading any books?
Not books right now. I've been listening to a lot of DJ sets lately, but one of my favorite books I read recently is called The Manifest Illusion series. It's a grim, dark series written by Michael Fletcher. That book is amazing. The three books.
I'll check that out.
Speaking of grim and dark, I'm looking over your shoulder and I'm getting nightmares. What is that painting of? Is that the devil attacking people? What am I looking at? And where did that come from? What is going on here?
You guys don't recognize those?
We are uncultured idiots.
Yeah, I am at least.
I think it's Belinsky or something. I forgot the name, but I got them all over my room.
Give you a little shout. Belinsky.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that is wild. That's some cool art.
Eating and stuff too.
Look at that. Very cool, dude.
So, Peyton, I was reading like some stuff after the fight, right? And Dean Thomas had a little bit of a criticism about like when fighters don't call out their next fight, right? And then like later on, you had talked about possibly Dominic Cruz. So I'll ask you a two-part question. One, you know, thinking about your career and what direction do you want to go? Do you agree with Dean? Do you think you should have a person that you want to call out so that maybe the matchmakers don't dictate your next move, right? Where you can kind of change direction.
Yeah, I think he definitely had a point for sure. I would have called somebody out if I have one, but I even tried to look this morning because I knew I was going to get asked this question, probably like somebody that I want to fight, somebody in the rankings, the right fight to make, because I'm towards the end of my first, you know, contract. So I want to make a smart decision as well. But I just like, it's hard. I don't know. Like there's like 100 guys that you got to go through and like, oh, is this the right guy? Is this the right guy? And I like to believe that the UFC is somewhat on my side right now. And they have kind of their best interest in me as well as for them. And I've told them what I want. I want to put on a dog fight. I want to fight somebody similar to me. I want to fight a striker that, you know, thinks that they can beat me on the feet. And I, you know, just trust in their business decision that they'll put me in the best spot to make them money as well as further me and my potential opponent's career. So it's fighting. We're here to fight. We don't really, you know, we can get a choice. Like we can have a choice if we get the mic and like own it in that moment. But at the end of the day, we're here to just like fight. So that's, I'd like to just not complicate things. And I feel like whoever they put in front of me, I feel very confident that I am going to show up and be able to get the job done. So.
Was there something about Dominic Cruz or was he just like the first thing that popped into your head?
Honestly, he's just like a name I know. Like I would not expect Dominic Cruz to like take the fight against me right now. Maybe that could be like in 2 or 3 more fights, but I even right after I said, I was like, God damn it. They're going to use that now. But he's just like somebody I know, you know, I know like pretty much everybody in like the top 10, but outside of that, it's like kind of hard.
It's kind of the way the business has changed a little bit. Like, cause there's so many of you guys are great fighters. There's so much parity in the division. There's a lot of great fighters. So sometimes it's just, all right, what makes the most sense? Like what do the fans want to see and what generates a little fan interest is one guy saying something to another. But I know that goes against some fighters' instincts. Guys are like, no, like I'm respectful and whatever happens will happen. So do you kind of have to override that instinct to just let it go and go, hey, this is a business decision. I have to start naming people.
A little bit. Yeah, for sure. I'm going to meet with my management team this week and we're going to come up with hopefully some names that are smart, like business wise. And also to give the fans another banger fight because that's what I want to do.
Nice. Yeah. That you got out of there. You're unscathed, it seems. You're right. No injuries.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
That's good, man. Are you one to take off a week or so and eat like a fat guy or you just go right back to the training?
Yeah. Well, I'll be at the gym tonight, but I'm going to take it easy for like a week or two. And I like a fat ass throughout like my whole fight camp anyway. So that's just like normal for me. So I'm going to just like eat and eat.
You're a foodie, man. You like to eat?
I love food. Yeah.
Are you more of the food or is it like the dessert? What do you like or both?
Food. I'm not a big sweets like dessert guy, but anything savory. I love bread, any carbs, give it to
pizza.
Me.
Pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. Pizza, sushi.
Do you cheat during a camp at all? Or are you really good at not doing it? Cause I suck at staying off it. That's why I look the way I look.
Yeah. I do really good a week and a half out, 2 weeks out, but any other time I'll eat In-N-Out Burger on like a whim. I don't give a shit. My body is a Ferrari that runs on 87 octane, I swear.
So you feel like if you do eat something stupid, you're going to be able to burn it off anyway?
Yeah, I feel like some of my best like training sessions have come after I've eaten In-N-Out.
Really?
Yeah, like I feel great after eating that for now.
Hey Jimmy, do you think if you had the same tattoo as Peyton, you think it would?
It wouldn't look as good. I mean, no, you got to be in shape for that tattoo, which he is. But I wouldn't look good with that at all. I wouldn't look good with any tattoos on my torso.
It's motivation to stay in shape.
Yes.
You got shot from the sky, maybe. Almost like a little bit on your belly. Not now, Jimmy, when you were fat a while ago.
Yeah, I'm not as fat as I was. I'm
good out of shape.
Thank you,
man. Yeah, baby. Well, listen, man, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
That fight was fantastic, dude. You looked ferocious. Yeah. And, I think you know, a lot of people seen that and I'm sure they're excited to see you again.
Yeah, and you're a real talent, and I can definitely say a real artist. I mean, I've checked out your YouTube page as well, and like you just seem to be doing really cool things. It's fun to see the diversity and intelligence of a lot of our MMA fighters and like what they have to offer both in and outside of the cage. So I definitely want to encourage people to check out your YouTube. Stylistically, I'm a big Fight Club fan. I know you're a Fincher fan. So like, I really like a lot of the stuff that you're doing. It's really cool.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. And I'm going to be posting more stuff. So yeah, be on the lookout if you guys are into that kind of stuff.
Sure. And sorry, I was going to say Peyton Talbot on Instagram and Twitter. Hey, it was great talking to you, man. We'd love to have you back on again. Really looking forward to your next fight. That was an unbelievably impressive win. So congratulations.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate okay. it.
All right, Peyton, take care.
I hit you up for the book. I already forgot it.
What's that?
You said what?
The book that he just mentioned. I'll hit you up on Instagram to get the name of that book. Because yeah. I already. All right.
Okay, yeah.
See you later.
All right, take care.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen.
Yes.
I have a movie that I believe, how about this? Because I know she knows one of the actors in it. I'm going to say she's seen it. It's called Shot Caller on Netflix. It has John Bernthal in it.
John Bernthal. I freaking
John Bernthal.
You got to see that movie. He's good. Listen.
Him on the show.
Oh, we got to get him on the show. I'd love to have him on the show. Why don't we get him on? He was the Punisher.
Yeah, he doesn't really like, he has his own podcast. Like,
all right, then let's not get him on. But listen, Jimmy, you're funny. But listen, Phoenix.
Yeah, had a really good conversation with him. He's an amazing person.
Phoenix, you have to watch that movie if he's a buddy of yours. It's one of those movies where did it come from? I don't know. But it came out a few years ago. And I like getting pleasantly surprised. It's disturbing, but it has Jamie Lannister as the lead, and okay. He's in a lot of it. He's one of the baddies from prison. But I'll tell you what a interesting movie. What a fun dark ride it is. It's about a guy that gets into like a drunken driving thing, and he in an accident. Somebody gets killed in the accident, so he has to go to jail. But while in jail, things go south. Next thing you know, he's a hardened fucking criminal. Yada, yada. Very fun. You should check it out.
I like that. I'll watch anything with Don in it.
And before Yousef Zalal comes in, obviously we should talk about the crazy, crazy Severino Lima fight, which ended in a disqualification. I feel bad for this kid, even though I know what he did was really stupid. You know, in a fight, I guess you just have a moment. You guys would know better than me. Lima was undefeated. Severino's undefeated. Lima kept grabbing the fence. Maybe that was frustrating. There's no excuse for biting somebody. It's fucking crazy. But you feel bad for somebody who made such a stupid decision and changed the trajectory of their life, because even if he had lost that fight, it was a great fight. And he still would have gotten, you know, people would have been like, we'd love to see him again. I believe that they had to cut him because you bite someone in your first UFC fight. That's a terrible.
That you're a bit emotionally unstable.
Yes.
You know, like that's like a bit scary because it comes out of like an emotional, guttural, animalistic, I'm frustrated. Like not.
Yeah.
Not you. But even Lima was like, oh, he felt bad that they had cut him.
Yeah. Even though they had to.
$1,000. But Yeah.
I'm not proud to say, but I've got some experience in this area. Obviously not in a real fight. Obviously not in an MMA fight.
Right.
But in a street situation. What if they made absolutely the right decision to get rid of him. Now he was on his, that was with a mouthpiece in, and that was on his arm.
Yeah.
Okay? What if it was his ear? What if it was his nose? What if it was his lip? What if he's fucking disfigured now?
Yeah.
F that. Bye-bye, Felicia.
Okay.
And he bit the sensitive part of his arm, too. That's a very painful part to get bit. That's a very soft. That's on any fighter, that skin is just as tender on a fighter as it is on anybody else. That hurts.
Dude, he could have got disfigured.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can't chance that.
No.
He did it once. Why wouldn't he do it again? And not only did he did it once, he played stupid.
Yeah.
You remind me of Paul Harris when the guy's breaking legs. What? What do you mean? What are you talking about? Like, that's, I mean, it's ridiculous. No, they should have learned that how many legs ago.
No, they had to cut him. I agree. They made the right move. I'm only saying that somebody who has a chance of a lifetime and gets and just makes a stupid decision and just does something stupid and self-destructive that could hurt somebody else and hurts himself. I just feel bad for a guy who makes such a fucking dumb decision. But I think Dana alluded to the fact that he's having a hard time with the Nevada State Athletic Commission. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to this kid. But like, you hope that it was just one really bad, stupid moment, and that he's able to just move on and continue fighting and not do something dumb like this again.
That he's like getting therapy tomorrow and just trying.
And again, it could have been way worse. As far as
of course,
it's not good that it happened, but you know, he's getting a tattoo of it on his
head. Yeah,
could have been disfigurement. Instead, he's kind of running with it. I don't want to go over it because I know I was playing around in the beginning, but the Amanda Ribas versus Thug Rose. I'm not saying that it should have went the other way, but it definitely could have. You know, I thought that Rose didn't do a lot on top. And that Amanda did well on the bottom. I mean, I don't think there was any real dominant positions. She was hitting her from. She was like landing more on bottom than she was on top. So I don't know. It was definitely more competitive than I think it might have been on the scorecards for me. I don't know.
Yeah, 48-47 feels. I did think Rose won, but again, 48-47 feels closer than 49-46.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it was. I thought it was. She was still dangerous. The MMA landscapers.
By the way, who do you think this is for? Who do you think this is for?
Oh, that's for you. What, your picks, you ass?
No. I mean, my picks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jimmy, I'm putting my sword away.
We don't need to have a sword fight.
What is happening?
Hey, Phoenix, did you hear about Jimmy's new show, Sword Fight, with his wife, Nikki Norton?
Yes.
I've seen parts of it. And Jim, it's so good.
Oh, thank you.
You guys work off each other so well. Like, it's just really good. It's very.
I feel like his wife has good comic timing for someone who just married a comic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she does. And she doesn't get stand up either. Like, I do jokes and she looks at me like the fuck with her head tilt. I never get laughs out of her. It sucks.
That's good, though. You look kind of lucky with that, no?
Yes. It helps to have somebody who's not fragile. No, what I was going to say, the applause I was giving
was sorry.
Edmund Shabazian. Against Dobson,
who picked him between me and you?
I did.
I picked him.
Did I pick Dobson over Shabazzian? Oh, okay. We both did. Oh, okay. Because I don't think I picked against Shabazzian. Dobson looked great in that first round, and Shabazzian got rocked. And I mean, there was a moment where he was like almost looked comical. He got hit so hard, and a lot of credit to him for fucking hanging in there and getting that win at the end of that round. I'm always impressed when a guy looks like he's ready to drop, and he looked like he was ready to go out early in that first round.
He needed that. He needed that win. He needed it bad. So, I mean, you know, not only is it great for him, but for AJ, it's a good learning experience because he knows that he had Edmund hurt. And, you know, I think that he's going to be more measured next time because sometimes you get somebody hurt, and it happened to me before. Carol Parisian, I had him hurt. You empty the tank trying to get him out of there. All of a sudden he's not there. All of a sudden you're on the receiving end. It could happen so fast. And that's kind of what he dealt with there. And And, yeah. You know, good for Edmund because he needed that. He really
needed that. And by the way, our next guest is in the waiting room. Let's bring in Yousef Zalal. Great, great win over a guy we love, Billy Quarantillo, who is tough as anybody in the UFC. He is a really, really hard guy to stop. So whenever somebody stops him, it's very impressive. So, yeah, you can bring him in, Jake, whatever. I didn't realize he was in the waiting room. And they're doing a new thing on the prep sheet now where they put little money bags next to the fighter who gets bonus. I like that. I wanted to acknowledge I like the little cartoon money bags. They make me very happy. I don't know. I don't see.
I see them.
Okay.
Wow. He doesn't have a mark on him. He's good. Oh, he hears us. Yousef, what's up? Congrats, man.
What's up, my man? Thank you, guys.
You got a great energy, man. You were so, you were just so happy after your win, smiling. Congratulations, bro.
I appreciate you, bro. Thank you.
At the end of that first round, at the end of it, as you had Quarantillo, and I guess you had him in a choke, but you were kind of across the jaw. How close do you think he was to, he did eventually break out with a couple of seconds left. Did you know you didn't have him then, or did you think that you might be able to finish him in that first?
No, so I know I had it because that's how he fell down because it was that tight, but I didn't have the momentum to like rotate my hips. Obviously until the second round, that's when I was able to rotate my hips. Because I learned in the past, like, I was so focused on, oh, he has to be under the chin. He has to be under the chin. No, he doesn't, you know. I was like, hey, like all the days. And I felt him, like, he was ready to about to tap. But as soon as it slid a little bit, I was like, yeah, I lost it. That's why I was like, I let go. I was like, I don't want to gas my arms out a little bit.
Yeah.
That's how Connor stops Habib, right? With the, I'm sorry, Habib stopped Connor with the, across the lower jaw.
Yeah, those things suck. Those things are not fun.
Yeah.
It hurts. Like people think it's just a choke, but you feel like your jaw is gonna pop off. Like you, okay, you'll tap.
Oh, for sure.
Yousef, I'm happy to see you. I'm so happy to see you because I know your career so well, like from the LFA days, from seeing you not just compete, but also just be so supportive in everybody's corner. And you're starting to not just be this, you know, great fighter and coming back to the UFC, but you're really understanding the fight business because and coming back and leaving and coming back. Like, tell me what you've learned about this experience emotionally, like just staying on the grind to get back there. And what have you also learned about the business about getting back to it?
The biggest part actually is the business. You know, I was always shy on understanding, like I always heard about like, oh, he's a talented kid, blah, 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 and this and this and that. And me not understanding the business, I was just saying yes, 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 yes. I'll never turn down a fight, by the way. But I was just saying yes because I was just fighting. I was like a young kid, 23 in the UFC. And I was like, oh, man, I'm just going to fight. But there's no understanding the business. It's like, hey, like, take your time. Like, winning will solve a lot of issues. You know, winning will solve a lot of problems. Winning will get you a lot more where you want to be at. So I was not thinking that way. I was just thinking about, oh, I'm just in the UFC. The kid is in the UFC, like just keep fighting as much as you want and the opportunities they give you, you know? So that's how I understand. And obviously being with my teammates at a high level, fighting for the belt, fighting for number 10, number 5 and all that stuff. So I understand how contracts works and what like performances they look for and what kind of all that stuff. Right. But it was definitely an emotional roller coaster, right? Because I had to understand that part and then understand my part as well, which is, hey, like if I want to be where I want to be business-wise, I really have to go perform. And performing is like it at the highest level. It takes a lot of mentally and a lot physically as well. So that's like that was the hardest part. But I have, like you said, a great team behind me that really to motivate me to go to that spot that I want to be at.
Now it's wild. How did this fight come about with you and Billy Q? Because I'm seeing that there was an injury due to with Gabriel Miranda that gave you the shot to go versus Billy Q. How much time did you have to prepare?
So this is the funny part. So 2 months ago or a month and a half ago, I got called for the Ultimate Fighter. So I was like, yeah. So I was like, all right, let's do it because we couldn't find nobody locally to fight. And I was like, all right, we'll just do that. because they say it's keep winning, keep finishing. I was like, all right, no problem. So I was like, all right, let's if they want me to show it in front of Dana and everybody else, obviously the Ultimate Fighter, that's a great opportunity for me to go show it and then give myself back to the UFC. So I was training for that. And then I found out Billy was like 3 weeks before I flew to Vegas, or 2 weeks before I flew to Vegas to do my medicals and all this stuff to get ready to go to the house. I was like, okay, whatever. So I do the medicals and everything. So I'm still in the Ultimate Fighter. The Billy fight is gone. I didn't know. I thought they found somebody. I was out of the content, like nothing, right? And then I'm from Monday to Friday, I do the medicals. And then the producer walks into me on Friday and he says, hey, man, I got some bad news for you. You didn't make it to the final cut. You're the alternate.
Oh, shit.
So I was, oh, man, I was like, are you fucking kidding me, man? I was like, I've been here. Come in here, wanted to show my skills, do all this stuff. And I called my manager, called my coach, and I was like, they were speechless. They were like, are you kidding me? Like, we thought you for sure on because of your story, your everything and all this stuff. So I was like, and I knew it was in a national season as well. So I knew I was like representing Morocco and all this stuff. So I was like, for sure, I'm on. So I kind of like, I was like super disappointed, man. And even my friend texted me. He's like, hey, here's the Uber Eat gift card. Like, go buy ice cream, go buy In-N-Out, like go enjoy yourself. And in my head, I was like, man, I feel like something is gonna happen. Like something's gonna happen. And literally 23 hours.
Wow. So
I call the producer leaves my the room. I call my manager 23 hours later. I get a call that, hey, Billy still needs an opponent and I got you to fight.
What's wild about that is that, first of all, they have the whole thing, one door shuts, another one opens. Yeah. There's that whole thing, which is wild. But Billy Q is a tough one for a welcome him back party. You know what I mean? Like, that guy's he gets tougher as he gets on. He's always in a dog fight. So, you know, for your first fight back in, that could be nerve-wracking for somebody. But I do know this, as a guy that was on the Ultimate Fighter, I trained my nuts off for that thing because I didn't want to look. Because you can't really hide if you're in shape or not on that show. So I'm sure you were in fantastic shape, right?
Yeah, I'm always in fantastic shape, man. I think I got my African genes. I don't know what it is, but I go in and always be in fantastic shape. But like you said, though, the Ultimate Fighter was the pressure, obviously, as well. So I really had to focus on that. Like, I had to focus more on the strength conditioning part. I had to focus on a lot of things because we didn't know what to expect. The coaches didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what to expect. I'd never done stuff like that. I've done a tournament, my 3 fights in one night. I've done that, but I was like, that's the only thing I've done. I was like, I haven't like really experienced, like you said, but I was definitely ready to fight a 5-round fight or 3-round fight at any time.
And not only beat Billy, you submitted him. And again, Billy, I think, had never been subbed before. It was an amazing win. And when you have like 3 losses in a row, they were all decisions. So you still look good in those fights. And you get cut from the UFC, do you start to feel discouraged? Like, I don't know if I'm going to make it back, or do you doubt yourself? Or how do you handle that mentally? Because then you went on to start winning fights.
100%. Whoever didn't say they didn't, they're bullshitting. You know, it's like, this is the most brutal sport that you can ever be in, to be honest. It's like, you go highs and lows, right? And I was riding that road, like 3 winning streak, fighting 5 times in 1 year in the UFC, all this stuff, right? But as soon as it got out, like I don't know, man, like, you know, you guys have been, I mean, Matt Sarah probably knows this, like, he hears it from fighters, like, man, I don't think I want to do this after they lose 1 fight, you know? They're like, I don't think I want to do this and all this stuff. So you can ask Coach, he heard that a lot from me, you know, but they know the talent that I possess and all this stuff, you know, but it has to take a lot just in me to understand the me and the insecurities and just being a better man and mature and all that stuff, just to understand that part first. And then fighting comes second, you know, because I feel like I was so focused just on fighting and representing everybody else and all that stuff and not representing myself and like being myself to the full potential. So that was the hardest part for sure. It's definitely the toughest spirit to swallow, but it was the greatest thing that happened to me.
Mark Montoya is a very special coach. Right. Cause he can push you really hard and like say something you really need to hear that might not be the nicest, but then he's so super nice also. were there things, because I know all of this had to be so heartbreaking. Like, your heart gets broken over and over and over again, and yet you still got to go in there and like continue to kind of wait for the call, because that's what happens sometimes with the UFC. Like, an opportunity presents itself and you don't get ready. You got to be ready in a lot of ways. Were there things that Mark was saying to you to just kind of keep you on that path?
For sure. He was saying a lot of things. By the way, I don't even know. I was like 590 days since I fought in the UFC until he posted it yesterday. Yeah, he was like, Mark posted it. Mark will always post. So you fight Saturday and he'll post Sunday about the post that it happens. And I was like reading it and I was like, wow, I didn't even know it was like 590 days since I've been in the UFC. But he was always in my ears. He was always in my ears. He's like, and I seen the passion that he was doing, like fighting for me. You know, it's like he's there every weekend in the UFC and he's always bringing my name and fighting for my name and this and that. Like I said, this is a brutal sport. Like, you go corner your teammates and you see them do amazing things and you know what you're capable of because you train with those guys. You know what you can do. So it kind of sucks, right? But it's like, in my hand, I was like, I look at it, I was like, that motivated me to stay in the gym and to, and I'm always the guy that to not stay in the gym. I always been in the gym and I always be in the gym. I'm never, you're not going to tell me, hey, Yusuf, you need to come to the gym. I'll be in the gym. I live in the gym. So I'm not too worried about that. But so that was like kind of like the whole thing, right? To see the guy's success and to helping him succeed, that kind of like kept me going. And like you said, the regional scene is super hard. I go from fighting in front of millions of people to 200 people. You know, you're like who the hell is this guy? Like, this is the guy who wants to come back. Who he thinks he is? Like, we're going to destroy this guy and make a name out of him. So that was my whole thing, right? And I was like, well, good luck. Like, you guys are going to find out the different levels to this game.
Well, it's good that you got the chance. I mean, a lot of guys have done it where they've left the UFC and come back. It's happened to some really good fighters. So you're in good company, and you're 27. So you're a young guy, and you already got that lesson, like, which is great, because a lot of guys don't come back until they're in their 30s. So you have to feel good about it, that you it didn't break you when you got cut. You fought well, and then you came back against a murderer like Billy Quarantillo and submitted him. Like, you couldn't have made a better statement coming back.
I know, man. That's all they were saying to me all week. All week. I do the media. Oh, I don't know. His style is bad for Yusuf. We've seen how Yusuf this, Yusuf that. He's a brawler. He brings everybody to brawl. I was like, he brings everybody to brawl because those guys really do not know so much about IQ. And I'm like, you want to brawl with somebody? Yeah, sure. I brawl at my time, not your time. It's like, the fight game is like, I'm like, okay, you think you're good. Let's find out how really good when you're not comfortable in the situations you need to be, right? So that was like all that pressure. It reminds me of my debut. When I fought the first time in the UFC, I fought Austin Lingo, and they were saying the same thing. They were like, man, three fights combined was under 1 minute and knocking people out and all this stuff. And I was like, in my head, like, I was like, you know, he's still young a little bit, and I was kind of like messing with it. I was like looking at coach. I'm like, bro, this guy's like, hey, knocking everybody out, dog. I don't know. That was in my head. And I was like, and I kind of look at it. I was like, they haven't fought somebody like me, you know? And for me, fighting Ilya and to kind of use that experience moving forward was like, man, that guy's putting everybody to sleep. And he barely found me in the fight. You know, he had to wrestle and do all that stuff, which, by the way, nonstop for the last 2 years, all I've been doing is wrestling, and jiu-jitsu.
That's one you'd like to get back. You'd like to get another shot at him.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I can't wait. I tell you that. I was like, I have a pill that I need to get some sweets back in my mouth. You know, I was like, it's a tart pill I still have, you know, but I will get that back. And if it's him, it's him. Because, man, he's doing great things in the division. Like who doesn't want to fight that guy?
Well, look, you're back, and congratulations on a great win. Your story really is interesting, and I look forward to seeing you fight again. You're definitely going to get more fights after that one. So congratulations, man. You really, as they say, you played your way back on the team, and it's good to see you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys.
All right, Yusuf. Right. Good talking to you.
That's you guys. Thank you.
Right. Take care, man.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it.
Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I'm surprised he wasn't picked for the show. He seems very jovial, and I like his smile and his and his personality.
Yeah, that's what you like about me.
Jimmy, when I said I like his smile, you did this.
Yeah, because I feel like you're telling me something.
Jimmy.
My fat neck.
Smile. Jimmy, no, you look fine. Have you been doing jiu-jitsu? And that goes for you too, Phoenix. You know, Phoenix.
No, I've been away, but I'm going back to Muay Thai tomorrow. And I just flew in today, and I do jiu-jitsu again on Wednesday.
Shit. I'm being quiet because I'm not. I'm injured again.
What happened to you?
You're going to laugh. You're going to laugh.
I want to laugh.
I have gluteal tendinopathy, which is a big way of saying I have tendonitis of my ass, dude.
Oh.
So, I have a slip disc. I have a torn labrum in my hip. So, I have numbness in my ass.
Oh, wow.
I've had that in my leg and my arm, too.
So, yeah. So, I probably need hip surgery. I don't know what's going on in my labrum. So, but my leg hurts. I'm walking like an old. I don't
know. You have a numb hiney. You don't want your hiney to be numb. You don't know if you're sitting or not.
So it's hard to be in guard. Like it's hard to be in like any type of straddle. This just sounds worse and worse as I speak, doesn't it?
I'll change the subject to what I taught today in jiu-jitsu. I was last night, my stomach. This time's, in the middle of the night, when you're on your.
Sure.
Not to get TMI, but let's say you're on the throne and you're going through videos. I was going through videos on Facebook, and I watched the jiu-jitsu match, and it was Hoyce Gracie. This is old school. It was after Hoyce Gracie had his UFC stint there. Before he fought Matt Hughes and came back and fought him, it was a big buzz about him doing a jiu-jitsu match. And it was versus Walid Islam. They chant Walid G. That's how you call his name. Or that's either name or his nickname. But either way, Walid G. Walid G. Anyway, so a short, stocky guy from the Carlton Gracie team at the time. So they had a jiu-jitsu match in Brazil. And Hoyce got put unconscious. He got put to sleep by a clock choke. I want you to watch this one. So I remember that I used to like the clock choke. I do a modified version that my daughter uses in competition. And she actually put a kid to sleep with it in class, and she's used it in comp very good. But the old school clock choke, I have not taught that in a while. So that just, sometimes I like some motivation of what to teach. I get, and that brought it back. So I taught that both in the morning and the noon class today. And just the way to break down the one shoulder to the mat while you're heavy on the near side shoulder when they're in turtle position. It's such an effective choke that, what old is new again? I think there's a saying like that. So I brought that back to the school today. And some guys, I give them some gold stars because they were strangling people today with it. I like it.
Could you do that to somebody if they had a winter jacket on? Would you be able to clock choke them?
Stop it, you. You're a jiu-jitsu person. You know that.
I haven't learned that one yet.
It's such an effective choke, and I'm not attacking the Gracies. I'm a disciple from Master Hendel Gracie. But, Hoyle Gracie also got put to sleep with a clock choke by Mario Sperry. And this is, again, this is back in the 90s. But, the proof is in the pudding. Whenever somebody's, those Gracies, they're not quick to tap. They're not in that quick tap club, so. For them to get, I think he got put to sleep, but Hoyce definitely got put to sleep. No, Hoyle tapped, but Hoyce got put unconscious. So it's such an effective choke.
Anyway,
I just got into the jiu-jitsu rant.
No. Do you have that video? Did you post it?
No. Okay, I'll show you both though.
Yeah,
but there is, if you look at the video, I thought you meant of me teaching it. No, but there's a video of Hoyce versus, I saw it on Facebook, but again, Royce Gracie versus Walid Izmal. Watch that.
No, I'll look for it because I don't know the submission, so I'd like to see.
It's fun. It's a fun one, you know. But what else? We already talked about, you know, congratulations to Doug Rose.
Doug Rose looked great.
Carl Williams versus Justin Taffa. You know, Carl Williams, man, he's explosive.
Yep.
No, Justin Taffa was very gutsy and landed some good strikes, but even though he wasn't getting destroyed on the floor, he just, you know, there was a difference in that, in the, you know, the grappling realm.
Taffa was drained by that third round. You could tell he was just kind of like leaning up against the fence, like, help.
All right, guys. What else?
Thank you, Phoenix. I will say, and what do you want to promote? I would love to promote Phoenix. I never get to go on with you because you're always here when I'm not here. So I'm happy I made it back.
I'm working, doing some sketch comedy with Bragging Rights. So that's coming.
Where do I watch that though? The Bragging Rights one.
Yeah, it's in New York. It's at the Pit. It's like a comedy club. This is just me working on my writing chops.
Good for you.
But
is that somewhere that you could watch that, like on the net or no?
No, it's a People's Improv Theater in New York. It's tiny. It's like, you know, Jimmy probably know it. It's a little tiny, tiny situation. And then the New York Judo tournament is coming up. I would love, if you guys want to come, let me know. I'll get you tickets. I believe it's in April. I don't have the date on me because I didn't know I was going to get to talk about it with him.
I didn't even know you were into judo.
I didn't either.
I love judo. I absolutely love it. It's one of my favorite arts. I'm not awesome at it, but I know the basics. But the New York Judo tournament, it's at the New York Athletic Club. I believe it's April 13th.
What night of the week is that, you know?
13th, it's a Saturday. It's at the New York Athletic Club. You can get tickets at newyorkopenjudo.com. If you guys want tickets, let me know. I'll hook you up. Yeah, Saturday, April 13th. So,
awesome.
Real in the Thank U.S. You kill it. So I would check that out. And, you know, just hit me up on the gram. I'll be doing things.
At Phoenix Carnivale.
Yes. Yeah.
Phoenix, I'm so happy to see you. Thank you. What else?
And Matt, go see Ghostbusters with the kids. I liked it.
Oh, was it good?
Yeah, man. I don't know what the critics are talking about. It's a fun, stupid movie about ghosts and comedians. Like, stop being so, they're so big.
I can't wait to watch it. And by the way, did either one of you watch Roadhouse yet?
Not yet.
No.
I watched the very beginning when Connor just got into it. So far, so good. I like Jake
Gyllenhaal. Yeah,
I like him. He plays like a real. He plays Dalton different than Patrick Swayze. He's more funny. Like he's like nice and like it's like almost like tongue and a little over the top. Obviously.
Yeah.
You gotta take it for what it's worth, but so far so good. You know, I'm enjoying it so far. The best, I'll let you know when I see the whole thing.
Yeah,
best thing I've seen is Shogun.
Oh man, I keep hearing about that. I heard it's like an old school, like almost like Game of Thrones in Japan or something.
Japanese, right? Game of Thrones. It's amazing.
Am I gonna like it? Or do I have to read a lot?
You 100%. I have to read a lot.
I don't want to read. Is it annoying, the reading?
No. I mean, it's there. Most of it's in English, besides like some of the Japanese. But most.
Wait,
of
it's
in
it on Showtime. I'm sorry, Phoenix. Showtime.
Hulu. FX.
Oh, Hulu. Oh, okay.
You know what? How much is the? Do I have to? I have to upgrade my Hulu. I don't like commercials, man.
You won't get them. You won't get them.
Don't you get them on the show?
I don't think so. I don't have them. I don't know.
You don't have Jimmy? Do you get commercials on that?
Watch Samurai's and laugh our asses off. We love it.
If you want to see me tomorrow, Wednesday night, I will be at the Fat Black Pussycat doing my hour every Wednesday. And my wife and I have a new episode going up, I think, tomorrow, the next day. It's Nikki and Jim NYC. This podcast is Sword Fight, where we're just showing real life stuff. So go check it out.
Jimmy, we should have just went right to your plugs.
No, I don't mind that. I don't care. I was wondering if you like commercials on Hulu. I was curious about that.
guys, I have nothing to plug. I just like that. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Phoenix.
Later, everybody.
All right. Bye, Matt.
Bye, everyone.
See you guys.
Love you, Jimmy.
Yes, and I love you, fella.
You too, Phoenix. Sorry, I didn't want to say
goodbye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.